This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And today, a conversation with Scott Beckstead, local resident. We've talked with him before, currently working for the Animal Wellness Action and the Center for Humane Economy, where you are Director of Campaigns.
Yes, sir. Having a great time, too.
And you've been around this area how many years?
I moved here on May 31st of 2008. To set up the Duchess Sanctuary for the Humane Society of the United States, a horse sanctuary located out near Oakland, and been here ever since.
So let's go back to the kind of the beginning just briefly. What got you interested in this whole area, working with these different organizations?
Well, I've always loved animals, and I've always felt a real passion for saving and protecting them. If you ask my mom, she'll tell you as a little kid, I would bring in, you know, the injured butterfly and the injured snake and, you know, all of the animals, and just always felt like that was sort of my mission. And, you know, when I practiced law over on the Oregon coast for 17 years, and, you know, saving and protecting animals was an important part of my law practice at the time. And then I got to a point where I just wanted to do it full time and get more involved in the public policy side, working to protect animals by passing legislation that gives them more protection. So that's, you know, I worked for over 12 years for the Humane Society of the United States. I was their Oregon State Director, which means I spent a lot of time in Salem lobbying for stronger state laws to protect animals. And now I'm working for these two new organizations and doing much of the same kind of work, but with greater autonomy. And it's very rewarding.
I'm curious, I'm going back to your comment about bringing in injured animals. How do you get close enough to a snake to know that it's injured?
Oh, just look, I've always had just a knack for, you know, and sometimes I always felt like sometimes these animals looked for me, you know, because for some reason, you know, if there was an animal that was hurt or needed help, I somehow found it, or it found its way to me, and I just, you know, I've always loved all kinds of animals, even the creepy crawlies like snakes and spiders and bugs. I've just always felt a real kinship with them.
Well, we ended up having this conversation partly because recently you got on a much larger platform, though on this same station, just several hundred more at the same time.
Right.
And you were on Coast to Coast a month ago. Talk
yes.
about how that evolved.
Well, that the reporter is George Knapp. He's a investigative journalist down in Las Vegas, and George shares my passion for protecting our wild horses that live on in the western United States. And he has covered that issue for a long time. I spend most of my time working on wild horse public policy, and you know, there's some very, very terrible things happening right now to our wild horses and burros. The Bureau of Land Management is rounding up wild horses at an unprecedented rate. Horses are dying in these roundups. Little foals are getting injured and orphaned and left behind. And it's a national tragedy because we have a federal law that the American people demanded be passed back in 1971. And the very agency that was charged by that law with humanely managing them is now engaging in the very same kinds of abusive behaviors that the law was meant to stop. And so that's really what we tackled in that. And it was 2 hours. Two or 3 hours, actually. I'm not sure. The guest that was supposed to call in before me didn't, and so I covered for both shows. But yes, it was wonderful. I got a lot of really positive feedback. A lot of people in the United States, especially, you know, in the eastern part of the country, have no idea what's going on. They assume that we've got these beautiful wild herds of wild horses, and they have no idea that they're being so badly mismanaged right now.
Well, aside from the issues involved when you live on the West Coast and you have to be on a overnight radio program,
yeah,
that had to be a bit challenging.
Started it at midnight. And yeah, it went into the wee hours of the morning. But it was a great conversation. Some great callers called in and asked some great questions. So it was wonderful. And like I said, George Knapp is very passionate about that issue. So it was a good conversation.
Is it more or less of an issue in Oregon?
Well, we have, we have sizable herds of wild horses out in eastern Oregon. And in fact, one of our herds, the Kiger herd, is considered to be the lineage of wild horses that is most closely related to the original Mustangs that first populated the western United States. But the point that I make to people is that, you know, wild horses really belong on our western rangelands because this is the landscape where they evolved over millions and millions of years before, you know, crossing the Bering Straits during the last ice age and moving down into the other continents. A lot of people aren't aware that we have these wild horses, but here in Oregon, very much an issue. And in fact, the Bureau of Land Management is planning a major roundup where they will remove several hundred wild horses from one of our most iconic herds, the South Steens Mountain herds out in eastern Oregon. It's very sad. A lot of advocates who are very familiar with those horses are just bracing themselves for the image of these animals that they've grown to love being chased by helicopters and loaded onto trucks and taken to a very uncertain future.
And what is the agency's response to critics, people like you who are not happy with what's going on?
The agency, the Bureau of Land Management, has been very skilled at trying to control the narrative. I have been published all over the country calling out the Bureau of Land Management for, you know, what I consider to be terrible gaslighting. They try to convince the people that helicopter roundups are humane, that the animals are treated humanely, that they're treated humanely in the holding facilities. We had nearly 150 wild horses die of equine influenza at a holding facility in Colorado because the BLM didn't bother to vaccinate those horses when they came in. Horses are dying in the roundups, foals are being badly injured. While all of us can see these terrible things happening, the agency continues to put out these press releases talking about how these animals are treated so humanely. And it just flies in the face of what we can see with our own eyes. And of course, public observers are out there watching these roundups and they're documenting the terrible things that are happening.
Now, talking about horses in a different light, and I saw this last night watching, I don't remember which network, television news, and I don't often have time to do that, regarding carriage horses in New York City, and in fact, an incident, I think, over the weekend or maybe Monday or Tuesday.
Yes, earlier this week, a 14-year-old gelding by the name of Ryder, who was badly emaciated. They say that he has a neurological infection called EPM, collapsed on the streets of Hell's Kitchen and laid there on that hot pavement as the carriage owner, you know, flogged him with the reins and yelled at him to try and get up. And the poor thing was obviously in terrible distress. It's bad enough, you know, that these horses are forced to pull these carriages in busy downtown Manhattan traffic, something that absolutely should not be happening. But then for them to be working a horse that is badly emaciated, clearly not well, so weakened that it took a major effort to get him to stand. It's just, you know, it's inexcusable. So yes, I've been very active in my social media accounts talking about that. And the Center for a Humane Economy that I work for, we have partnered with advocates in New York City to try and get the New York City Council to finally put an end to that carriage horse industry. I don't know how many more horses have to, you know, collapse and die, how many horses have to, you know, be involved in accidents with vehicles before they finally do the right thing. But the proposal by the Center for a Humane Economy is that those carriages be replaced with a more historic, non-equine-related vehicle that these drivers can still use to give tourists rides around town. But look, horses don't belong on the streets of Manhattan, and badly emaciated and very diseased horses especially don't belong on the streets of Manhattan.
And in watching the news report last night, fire crews were essentially hosing the animals down for quite a while.
And they weren't fire crews. Those were actually police officers from the mounted police. So they know horses, and yes, they responded immediately, bless their hearts, to try and provide some comfort to that poor animal. And they were instrumental in finally getting him to stand up so that he could be taken away and hopefully cared for. What one thing that's troubling is that we don't know where that horse is now and what his fate was. But a lot of advocacy groups were offering to find him a good home, but the owner was adamant that he was not going to let that happen.
Now, this never came up for me until we started having dogs a few years ago, but one of the things, you know, you walk a dog, well, you can only do that in the summer at certain points of the day because of the heat of the pavement being, I mean, a lot of us would not go out barefoot on a 90-degree day, and it is more impactful for the animal, and of course the pavement heats up a lot. How does that work with horses in a setting like that?
Well, you've got the actual temperature, but then you have your ambient temperature, which is both the temperature of the air and the temperature rising from the hot asphalt. So very often the ambient temperature can be 10 to 20 degrees hotter than what, you know, if you just hold up a thermometer in the air. So yes, it and you know that asphalt must have just been sizzling hot for that poor horse to collapse down upon, and it just demonstrates why horses really don't belong there.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with the Commissioner of Dirt coming up at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, you've begun to hear about Roseburg's sesquicentennial, 150th birthday of the city of Roseburg, with events in October. We're going to unpack it, do the reveal tomorrow with one of the organizers of some of the events, Sarah Holborough, on tomorrow's program. Scott Beckstead with us today. He works for the Animal Wellness Action Organization and the Center for a Humane Economy as Director of Campaigns. So what does a Director of Campaigns do?
Well, so these are two affiliated organizations. Animal Wellness Action is organized as a 501c4, which means that it can engage in direct political lobbying, electioneering. It can make campaign contributions and so forth. The Center for a Humane Economy is organized as a 501c3, so it is limited in what it can do in terms of political lobbying and so forth. But the Animal Wellness Action is dedicated to political lobbying, legislative change. And so we have, you know, my colleague Marty Irby, who's one of the top lobbyists in the country on Capitol Hill, lobbying for animals in Congress. But the Center for a Humane Economy does more. It's just like the name implies. It works to promote the humane treatment of animals as part of a economic or business model. So, for example, we have a campaign called Kangaroos Are Not Shoes, where we are trying to convince Nike, Puma, Adidas, and other athletic shoe manufacturers to stop using kangaroo skins in the manufacture of soccer cleats. And the reason why is because 2 million kangaroos every year are killed in Australia to supply skins for soccer cleats. It's the largest slaughter of indigenous wildlife in the world. It even eclipses during the worst days of the Canadian seal hunt, when, you know, so many little baby seals were being clubbed for their fur. The kangaroo slaughter in Australia eclipses even that. And so, you know, there are, you know, synthetic alternatives that are better, lighter, more durable than kangaroo skins. It really is an issue of, you you know, these shoe companies started using this and just have been hesitant about backing away from that. So we are trying to get these shoe companies to adopt, you know, humane considerations in their business model, and we do it with other things. That the Center for a Humane Economy active on this carriage horse issue and trying to encourage New York City to get rid of the carriage horses and replace them with a humane alternative that doesn't depend on the exploitation of animals.
What about in Oregon? What are some of the animal issues you're working on specifically here?
Oregon, you know, I've been very active, as you know, Kyle, over many years, especially on issues around wildlife management. I was fortunate to be appointed to the Oregon Beaver Work Group, which was a collection of stakeholders, everyone from the Trappers Association to, you know, humane-minded folks like me, all sitting around talking about how we can do better about protecting Oregon's beavers. We are the beaver state after all, and yet our law provides the beaver with very little protection. And given their essential role as ecosystem engineers, I mean, these animals, they can create an entire ecosystem that a whole host of other species depends on by building their dams. And when we are looking at the devastating impacts of climate change and drought, we need these animals out there on the landscape in abundance even more. So I work on that, of course, you know, working to try and nudge Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to a more humane and sustainable approach to wildlife management, one that acknowledges the fact that the vast majority of Oregonians want wild species managed humanely. So, you know, very active on all of those fronts.
What about when it comes to research on animals? I know that probably a lot of times come in from your vantage point, there's questions about how that's done and how it impacts the animal.
Yeah, that's another issue here in Oregon. We have a notorious facility. Oregon Health Sciences University runs the Primate Research Center in Hillsboro. And this facility has more animal welfare violations documented than any other primate research center in the country. And, you know, when I first moved to Oregon back in 91, this primate research center had a bad reputation then, but it has gotten even worse. And, you know, there are all these terrible stories that come out of the facility. There was a couple of years ago, a worker pushed two monkey cages through an industrial washing machine without taking the monkeys out, basically scalding those two poor animals alive. And, you know, the OHSU made a statement that, oh, we're really sorry this happened. And then the USDA investigators showed up and said, oh, it's a training issue and nothing is going to change. And I think that, you know, in addition to just sort of the terrible mistreatment of animals as part of, you know, how they're kept and managed, the experiments themselves are so ghastly and so terrible and so redundant. They've got a study going right now where they feed pregnant monkeys, female pregnant monkeys, junk food and get them obese, and then take the infants after they're born and terrorize them, basically deliberately terrorize these newborn infant monkeys, and then dissect their brains to look at the effects of stress on the infant of a mother with a poor diet, as though that's something that we can't all figure out. And what's terrible is that terrible, terrible experiment they have been doing for decades. They know the outcome, but it's all about getting research grants from the National Institute of Health and paying the salaries of the researchers. And so, yes, we are absolutely, OHSU's Primate Research Center is definitely on our radar, and we're working with state lawmakers to try and figure out ways to get them to do things better.
If people want to find out more about these organizations you're working with, how do you connect them?
Well, go to our website, www.animalwellnessaction.org or www.centerforahumaneeconomy.org, or find me on Facebook. That's probably the best way of following my work, is to just follow me on Facebook.
All right, Scott Beckstead, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.